Hey everybody, welcome to My Epic Movies. This week we are talking Teen Witch. I'm gonna get it wrong, I apologize because she's good in this. Metro Area's own Robin Lively is the star of a movie where she is a witch, and not unlike Teen Wolf, at a certain age she gains her witchy powers, and they make her cool in school. It's kind of a teenage rom-com, kind of fun, and the return of one of our favorite characters, the often mentioned Zelda Rubinstein, also from Poltergeist, among others, as Madame Serena here. But yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. So please enjoy this kind of romantic teenage comedy. Thanks for doing all you do to keep us on charts. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week on a special Sunday recording, we're talking about Teen Witch. What they really, really, really hoped would be a girl version of Teen Wolf, which is not a joke. That's the truth. I'm your host, Nick Hoffman, and on panel we've got...
Noor Chernette, and can I say...
Sure.
What?
I'm a riffer on Cineprov, and...
And so am I. catch me at the shows. I believe... Can I say what the next show we're doing? Is it a surprise?
You can't say the show, but you can say where it's going to be.
Oh, well, it's going to be at the Roundtrip Brewery up in Howell Mill. It's near the Works in Atlanta. You know, just honestly, for real, just get some popcorn. I befriended an old lady. She's real cool, you know, and a bunch of friends. And it's just a good time if you're free on Thursday. And, you know, just have some drinks and just chillax with friends. So... See me, see Hoffman, see Candace, see the crew. You know, it's good times.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Kieko. Lauren.
And we are continuing our romance February. We've started out with Matt Quinn's pick, of course, Legend, his favorite rom-com, followed by Flashdance. And now we're up to, of course, Teen Witch.
Yep.
And next week, we're going to talk about Pretty Woman.
Bum,
so
bum,
stay tuned.
Bum, 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 bum.
In the nigh on impossible 5 Thursday February, we have one that we haven't even gotten to yet, which will be great.
Nice. Oh, yeah, because it's a leap year.
It's a leap year.
Oh, love it.
And the first is a Thursday.
Yep.
Right? So we're going to end with an Academy Award winner.
Ah.
Yes.
Who?
Patrick Swayze in Ghost, although he didn't win the Academy Award.
Mm. Whoopie did.
Whoopie did.
Shout out to alopecia. No, listen. I didn't find out that she didn't have eyebrows the whole time. Sister Act 2, didn't know she had eyebrows. It's like she emoted her eyebrows. It's beautiful.
Patrick Swayze should have won an Academy Award.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
For real, for real, for real.
That was a good one.
Yeah, really.
So this movie, I just have to say right off the bat, maybe the best intro I've seen in a long time.
I skipped it.
Like we can talk about
are you
this.
Watching?
This nice. Intro,
I skipped it.
Solid. Coming strong. The best intro I've seen in a movie. They come out with sexy saxophone music. And you just feel like you know it's on. I immediately felt like I was in an 80s music video. And it was wonderful and beautiful.
Not since Lost Boys has there been a saxophone.
Right?
So
yeah, I was thinking of
the
Matt.
Minute I hit play, because I'll be straight with y'all. I've never seen this before. So this was like a treat. But this, I was like, yo, this came out strong. It is her and this gorgeous roof. And a sexy saxophone music going, and she's with some guy on the ledge, and it's like you're not sure what's going on, but I felt like I was in an 80s music video, and it was awesome.
Well, and I'm not going to pick apart your words other than to say you said that the roof was sexy, she was sexy, the saxophone
was sexy,
but the guy was just fine.
He was okay.
Do you know why? If this was Kenny G shirtless, you would have said something.
Yeah, there you go.
You could have finished. Yeah.
So you could have finished.
No, I mean, I'm just like,
wait, that was half a sentence.
Our main character was not able to.
That's right. Her terrifying. Because
I didn't know where you're going with that.
This intro was a parody to me. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it's a Paula Abdul video, right?
Yeah.
Where she's dancing with a cat.
MC Scott.
If it's not
hat.
For her disgusting shit boy brother who's underneath her bed eating cupcake. Dude. Who is doing a bit from a bad Second City sketch. Like, it is really, like, he is the worst brother character I've ever seen. It's really something.
He was having fun, though. You could tell he was having fun.
He was, because he's eating cake. all the time.
Can you not? Can you? I mean, I guess you could say we eat cake.
So I understand why y'all chose this movie. I truly do, because I'm a younger brother, and I immediately saw myself in the kid, bugging my sister, reading her diary. Sorry, just messing around with my sister. I remember the day that she told me to get away and leave her alone because she was with her friends, and that really hurt me. And I did that to my younger brother too. I know, but it just I understood, because like the movies I grew up with, I'm not saying y'all went in junior high in the 80s. You're junior high in the what year were junior highs? I mean, high school.
It was the 2000s.
The 2000s. Okay. Yeah. So, what was the movies in the 2000s that you guys really like, really honed in on?
Well, we've done a few of them.
Like 10 Things I Hate About You, right?
Ginger Snap.
High school
Snap.
Movies, right.
And then Bring It On. And I equate that to like what my mom could have been seeing back in the day. You know what I'm saying? And then it's just funny that it always transitioned. It was the same trope, the younger snarky little brother, the girl that just wants to be seen. And like I really did see like if 10 Things I Hate About You had like a little fantasy twist to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It sort of thing. So yeah. You hit me because I called you old.
You did.
No.
You were like, I don't know when you guys went to high school, like the 1800s. Was it like black and white movies?
No.
Was there a president before Obama? Or
did you guys have zip codes when you were in high school?
But you know what's crazy? A lot of kids are born these days, like Obama was their first.
Did Jesus sign your yearbook?
When the Earth's crust was cooling. No, anyways, that's what my English teacher used to say. So anyways.
I actually don't know that this movie was probably like widely watched when it came out. I don't think so. It's not well known.
That's what I'm saying. This is the first time I ever saw it. I don't think it was really well known.
So why was it picked for you? Why was it your choice?
I watched it as a kid. So, but the thing is, like, I grew up in Alabama, and as I always say, Alabama is like 10 years behind. So I found out this movie came out the year I was born. And so I watched it as a kid, which means it was like 10 years, after it was actually out when I was watching it. But I had an older sister.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
How did you watch it?
I think we had tapes. Yeah, I think we had it on tape. Disc.
Well, no, but that's something that's important for a young audience. Back then, a VHS tape cost the equivalent today of like $50. And that's not a joke. It costs like $25 in 90s dollars.
Yeah.
Unless you defrauded the Columbia Record Company or the Columbia Film Club or whatever. So if you owned a movie, you've seen it 100 times. Mm-hmm. That's why I didn't need to watch when we did like Angels in the Outfield.
Yeah.
Because we owned it. So I just knew it. And so if you own this movie,
we watched
on tape,
it a lot. Yeah.
You saw it. You know it backwards and forwards.
It was
you
one
know
of the
how
ones.
They follow that erotic first scene with a dance number in the locker room. So there's one for the guys, too.
I'm like, boys, I don't know about you guys, but in my high school, we did that every day.
Right.
I mean, what? That was a typical
synchronized shaving.
That was a typical Tuesday. We'd have a choreographed dance routine, just talk about liking boys.
You want to learn the new dance moves, and then everyone knows it, and they're all wearing lavender colored leotards.
Run around and there's towels. I mean, perfectly. Yeah, makes perfect sense.
What year was this movie made?
89.
Really?
So, okay. Before Back to the Future, so 83, 84 is Teen Wolf. There's a and Michael J. Fox plays basketball as a wolf, which is the only way he could score because he's 5 foot nothing. And then the sequel, Teen Wolf 2, is Jason Bateman.
Love Jason Bateman.
Playing also werewolf, but he's on the wrestling team.
That's not fair.
But this is after that, and you can tell it's the same basic movie.
Supposedly, it even stole the tagline, but I don't know the tagline.
Is it the same character? Or just another guy that got bit by a wolf?
I think it's supposed to be like a cousin, and by that point, Back to the Future had come out, so they couldn't afford
Genetics,
Michael J.
Yeah,
Fox.
Yeah, yeah.
We should do Teen Wolf. We haven't done either of them on this feed, and this is a fun. And again, nothing against this movie, but this feels like they saw something with like it was muted, but they got the gist of it.
Yeah.
Because she's good in this, but she's not a someone. By that point, Michael J. Fox was a someone.
Right.
And you can kind of sniff the fact that she was like not the cheapest, but she was the best actress of the group. So she got the lead. It's like a rotating cast or something.
When was the Molly Ringwald era?
Kind of the same time, but a little bit earlier. Yeah. They would have hit earlier.
85, 85.
85. So I that's who I was like equating to, if that's a word, to the main character in the
this
movie.
This smells of like, what if there was John Hughes but magic?
Right.
Which would have been better, because then Emilio would have been the hot guy who's a foot shorter than her, and he would have been like, you're beautiful no matter what. I also think the music video at the beginning was so she gets to be sexy. Because, no, and I mean this, like, honestly, because later in the movie, everyone loves her, but she's the same. Right. Which is why there's supposed to be magic involved. Because she's just her, and everyone's fawning all over her. But at the beginning, she gets to be 80s sexy, which means shoulder pads, which means blouses that are made out of entire bed sheets.
Frizzy hair.
The frizziest. Mm-hmm. And the guy could go surfing at any moment with that haircut. But at the same time, she doesn't really get to be sexy elsewhere in the movie. I think that was a studio note. Like, truly. And she's good in this. She's totally fine. I just wish they had gotten some juice behind it with someone else.
Right.
Because otherwise she has to carry this very strange movie on her back. Her and that buddy who looks like she is almost Blossom. Like, Blossom and Jason.
I wrote that same note. Blossom wannabe.
I want to hear
but
that.
But you find out that it's a dream. And it's her brother that walks in and he's reading her diary. But the whole point of that is because she hides it in her notebook so her brother can't see it and doesn't realize that she takes it to school. And that becomes a problem because then her teacher reads it in front of the whole class. Nick, you're a teacher.
I want to talk about this teacher
real
quick.
How much trouble would you get in as a teacher if you read a journal entry of one of your students' diaries?
First of all,
what do you honestly think would happen? This is
really especially time. One that's incredibly erotic about another student. Like, it is... Dude,
tell me.
I was screaming into like, my wife came in like 10 minutes into the movie because she was like, whatever. And I was like, you have to watch this. And it's just, there's something, because what it is first of all, we all had high school crushes and high school love notes are like awkward.
Right.
They're not erotic. This is out of a like, and then she grabbed his purple member. Like, it's just, it's so strong. It's practically.
And then he went to urgent care.
Right. Hold on. Did y'all have diaries, notes, and stuff that you wrote down your fantasies?
I had a diary. Yeah. And I actually wrote my diary. I taught myself to write in Elvish runes so that I could write my diary.
Lord of the Rings?
Runes, in a code.
To be so private. So that
my parents couldn't read it. And my stepdad found it. And he was so mad at me. He was yelling at me because he was like looking at it. And he was like, I can tell this is the same five letters as this. What does it say? And I was like, I don't know. Yeah.
Journal is a private...
That's why I wrote it in a different language.
Yeah. That's impressive. That's like, do you know Elvish? Can you speak Elvish?
No, I just taught myself like to trick
the codes and stuff.
Yeah, like to use the alphabet.
I wish I had thought of that. That's brilliant.
I like Lord of the Rings. Did you have a diary, Nick?
Diary, no, but like I had a girlfriend who wrote me like three letters a day, and it was a lot.
Wait. Three letters a day?
Dude, she must never have learned a thing in high school. Because she would like...
College worldwide. Or just 4A straight up printer.
Paper. What does that matter? Like, and then she'd fold them up and write on the back.
No, it does make a difference, man. I take my notes in college and I write letters.
Back up. Nor, in high school, were you writing on wide rule paper like a seventh grader or a third grader? Or were you writing...
This is why I want to talk about this teacher. Because some people learn different, Nick.
Oh, and by the way, they have no idea if she's supposed to be in high school or college. Dude.
Oh, right, like, she's younger.
That guy's in a lecture hall of like 50 kids, and there's like a wall on top. Of books.
And
I'm like, is this community college?
Maybe that's like, a high school in like California. I mean, it's set in California. California high school is like that.
Yeah. That's how I took it.
But I want to talk about this teacher a little bit. Like, here's the thing. I never had, like, who, did y'all remember y'all's asshole teachers? Because I was having PTSD from the shit.
Dude, I will say, I never had an asshole like that. That's, like, reading the notes aloud is really just... Confiscating notes is one thing, but reading notes aloud is a lot. Also, by the by, passing notes in class is dumb because you have time between classes to actually pass the notes around.
Yeah.
So I think this might be a contrivance from the thing. Though I did... she knows this.
What'd you do?
No, dude, bro, guy. I had a comedy, like an underground comedy newsletter.
Yes.
When we were in high school, and we would Xerox it, and like we would have things where people would write in, and we would have 200-300 people write into these things. So we were doing it like locally. And so if I was in a class with someone I wrote with, we would pass jokes back and forth to fix jokes.
Yeah.
Like, we were workshopping. Mm. So I do realize I'm a hypocrite because we did do this shit. But it was in math, and I've never used math once thanks to AI. No, I wouldn't be a math teacher because A, I can't add. But B, Wolfram can tell me the steps to do a word problem since like 10 years ago. So I'm good.
But I think the whole point of that is to show that's like his a nipples. Teenager's worst nightmare, right?
No, that was later.
Is to have your secret thoughts and secret crush be outed in front of literally everyone and be like the talk of the school.
Yeah, I think it's that's just establishing show, like, that she feels
the
like,
position she's in, and this is the most awful, embarrassing, humiliating thing at that age that could like ever happen.
Right. And the fact that he's so old, he hadn't had an erection since the Carter administration. Like it's
RIP Mrs. You know what I'm saying? RIP Mrs. Let's pour one out.
I mean, and the only other teacher we get is that old woman explaining condoms.
Oh, yeah, the sex ed class. Oh my God, which I let my kids watch this with me.
Interesting.
And I was like, so I think it's rated PG, but it's 80s PG.
Greece is rated G.
80s PG.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, there may be some things that I was like, okay, it's a, and I always look up on Common Sense Media beforehand just to be like, is there anything I need to be worried about? And they said there would be like a sex ed class, but I wasn't prepared for the condom chant.
Condom.
And
condom,
my 6-year-old condom. Was like, Mommy, why do they keep saying condom?
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, just to be silly. And then we just kept going.
You can't make it a you're chanting it all day. Yeah.
Well, and again, speaking of Greece, like you have these Greece guys who are like, hey, look at the condom. And you're just like, when did we get to Little Italy? Like, it's so funny because it's
list off the names of penis, you know, Mimbo, Tommy Jane, Tommy. I'm like, oh my God, this is so.
I'm not a bully, but I get it. I was a theater kid. I was in the barbershop quartet. I was a theater nerd. I'm serious. I was that kid in high school. Woo. But I would beat these kids' asses if I saw them perform like that. You know, it's just and also it was just slightly racist for a little bit. You know, it's just
slightly racist.
I felt it.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Because I was just like. I get it. Y'all saw Thriller a couple too many times.
I got
them. You know what I mean? It was just.
I forgot about that. Yeah, no.
Yeah, dude, no.
No, you're right.
Even in 2008, I wanted a Michael Jackson Red Thriller zipper jacket, but no. But
well,
that
happened in the parking lot of our high school again every day. That was a normal
Thriller?
Movie,
just
the
breaking
no! 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 This is not normal. That's my point.
Or like the theater teacher with the perm too.
Yeah.
Just very quickly, Lauren, you've got notes in front of you. Or Keiko, why don't you tell us the plot of this movie? Because we
So we've
just back in the box.
Yeah. So we sort of address the beginning where our heroine Louise Miller is having a dream about the guy she likes. Wakes up, fantasies ruined by her brother. It's like the week before her birthday, I think.
Yeah.
And she just has a terrible day. Her romance letter is read out in front of the whole class. She just has a really bad day. And then I want to say, I don't remember if, I guess she gets caught in the rain and she's going to call her parents to get a ride. And she happens to see.
She almost got hit.
Oh, she almost got hit.
She's
by the guy she likes.
She misses out on the school play.
Yeah.
She doesn't get the role. Like, she's having the worst day ever.
Her
car breaks down. She can't get a hold of her parents. She didn't get a school play. She's humiliated in front of her, you know, entire school, basically, with her embarrassing journal entry.
Yep. So she sees a building with a storefront with a light on, like a neon light, and it says, like, palm readings or something.
Madame Serena.
And she goes in and it's this little lady and the lady wants to read her palm and she's like, how much money do you have? And she's like, I have $6 or whatever. And so she reads her palm and then she gets interested and she says, oh, you're one of us. And she tells her that on her 16th birthday, which is next week, right? And she's like, yeah, that she's going to get her powers and she's going to become a witch. And she's just like, whatever, this lady's crazy. And goes about her life. Mm-hmm. But then strange things start happening to her.
Yeah.
And what's the first strange thing? Is it the carousel?
No one shows up to her sweet 16.
That's fucked up.
Right?
No one shows up. And then she gets a sweater.
She gets her mom. This ugly outfit. Freddy Krueger like. That they make her wear to the harvest dance.
Yeah.
I think things start happening all at the harvest dance.
If visually the sweater, which the mother alluded to, would be very expensive. Just imagine like Freddy Krueger's sweater, but Easter colors, you know what I'm saying? Or Cosmo Wanda colors, you know? if they were hiding in a sweater.
I thought the sweater was cute.
No, I really like it. Like, okay, not on me because I need more brighter colors, you know, because I'm black. And so it just looked, but no, I just wanted to stop at the 16th birthday because the 16th birthday seems so very important because that's when you get your powers. It's kind of remind me of that Disney Channel movie, The 13th Year.
Oh, yeah. That
go, Merman.
Merman.
And it just, okay. I will admit to this as far as just, what was the eclipse? There was something here recently where people.
It was the Harvest Moon?
Yes, where people thought they would get like powers.
Yep.
Or when you
Wait,
turn.
Wait, what? What happened?
Yeah, like, yeah.
No, he lives in the city.
People thought they were going to get powers?
Yeah, it was true. Even also, like these things that you thought, like when I turned 30, I thought I was going to have some type of quantum leap type situation where I'd wake up in somebody else's body. This got me excited, like, you know, like,
yeah.
I might get superpowers when I get 50. It's just things that I look forward to. Okay. Sorry. But that's the feelings I had when she turned 16. And it was fucked up. No one came to her birthday party.
I will add, too, I think there was a discussion between the production designer and the director. Because my thought was, she wants to be, again, sexy or something. Mm-hmm. And the whole boxy sweater vest thing, which makes her shapeless, I think was also part of it. She wants to be 16. She wants to feel like a woman. Exactly. And so they give her the most boxy, shapeless Mr. Like, she looks like...
She looks nice.
She looks fine, but she looks like Ned Flanders. She doesn't look like she has any sort of sexual power, right? And she wants to be a woman because her sexual rival, the one who's dating the man of her dreams, is the blonde cheerleader who's kind of curvy.
No.
We see her in a leotard early on. Uh-huh. And her mom dresses her like... And then when she goes to the dance with Ira Glass, like... She dresses like Cyndi Lauper, right? Like, she's got this rolled up sleeve. She's got the tank top that's kind of low cut, right?
But it was still modest. It was still
modest. It was in the bathroom, but it was
But it's definitely
and
more.
And she has the amulet that she gets, remember, from the school.
From Carrie Manuel.
Yes. Oh, that perm. That perm.
She can glow.
She can do anything.
I love how
she's like Barbie. She can do anything.
I do like how her wish is to marry an Italian millionaire or whatever that was.
Have you ever gotten perms? Be honest. Yeah.
Perms don't exist anymore, do they?
Yeah, they do.
I think they do. Yeah. I was just wondering that because my mom used to get perms.
Oh, really?
And when she would first get them, actually one year for Halloween, she was a poodle because she had just gotten her perm and it was so like tight and like coily that looked like she had poodle hair.
See, like, and my sister and my mom, when they got perm, just flat. You know, I mean, that's how it works. Yeah, excuse me. But no, I really digged the drama teacher. She was
having fun.
She was cool.
She was great.
No. She was great.
But they're at this harvest dance, and she's sitting at table 13. Anyone else notice that? They're trying to be
Okay. Anyway.
With Not Blossom.
Friday the 13th. Yeah, with Not Blossom. And she's wearing the amulet, and I think she says, "I wish he would come talk to me." I think is one of the main first things that she realizes.
And then
her crush Brad comes over and talks to her.
That jawline. I'm comfortable saying this.
I'm getting my powers here.
Well, and again, like it's very much like Brad like smells something. He's like, "What?"
Right. What was that? Yeah, like he's being called. But so he asks her to tutor him.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
English.
And so she's like, "Yes, I'll do." And then she makes Ira Glass disappear.
Oh, because
I want to talk about this man.
I could talk about him the entire movie.
Yeah.
So he's one of the cool girl's cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jana, Nada, what's the cool girl's name? Yeah, that's my.
And she thought that it was going to be a cool guy because, they were like, cool. "Yeah, my cousin's going to
Randa. That's her name. That's the character's name, Randa.
There you go.
And instead, again, he's got this, God, I don't even know what. It's, she blinded me with science hair. Like, yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And he is just a horny nerd type.
Like, yeah, he's terrible.
He's grabby, and in the car ride home, he's not making a move. He's just grabbing at her.
Yeah, right. Like, come on, baby. That was gross.
Yeah,
it was like, yeah, give me a little smooch. No, I just loved it. During the dance, I was like, you want to smoke some weed? And I'm like, this
yeah.
guy,
yeah, right.
this guy. But
he's white, so it wouldn't blow. Nah, first,
right. Yeah. What happens?
Well, first we should just mention the scene that you kind of alluded to, because she dresses very dowdy and then goes into the bathroom and has the transformation where she thinks she's looking cool. And the one thing that guy has to do is pretend like she looks cool. And he's like, what are you wearing? And you're just like, oh, this dude is never getting laid once in his life voluntarily. And because it's down to the fact, and again, I have daughters, she's wearing like a ballet, like, I don't even know what to describe. It's like the pink tussliest.
Like a tutu.
Tutu.
But it's like a costume tutu. Like, it's so 1989. It's amazing.
Yeah, very 80s.
Man. I really dig the fashion.
I think she even had socks and heels on.
She did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like the little like
leg warmers,
some
of
the socks and heels.
And she had the blush that went like across her face.
She had blue eyeshadow.
Yeah.
That's right.
They got to bring it back, man.
She did.
I'm
look
digging
cool.
that. Yeah. And the sunglasses with the things on them. Oh, man.
Exactly. And then she goes, like you said, the nerd, I wish you would just go away. And then the car is just speeding down the road.
He disappears.
Without a driver.
He disappears. Does he come back?
No.
Who cares?
No. Post-credit scene?
We never find out. I don't think what happened to him.
Oh, all right.
We're more
man.
Concerned about the brother being turned into a dog in about 7 seconds.
That is very before the seven. So before he turns into a dog, what was he making, a pizza?
I think he was making everything.
He was making a crime.
He was just like mixing everything. He was just making a big mess.
No regard. These parents don't. Mm.
No, dad is way too cool about all of
this. Oh, too much.
I think that's probably one of my most like remembered things from when I was a kid, when he's like, you're a dog.
And then someone turned into a dog.
She turns him into a dog.
Oh, wow. That was.
Well, because he says, I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you say to me goes back on you.
And that was a spell?
And she says that to him. And that's what turns, because he said, you're a dog. So he turned himself into a dog, actually.
I didn't know that was a spell.
A complicated plot.
Wow.
But then she puts him in water and he comes back.
Because I don't know why. Also, there was already a bath drawn. I'm not sure
already a bath
why.
Does. She knew to go. Yeah. She
and
knew
she
to go ahead
just
and
was
do
like,
that.
Put him in a bath. He was disgusting. So, I mean. She was like, this is my chance to wash him off.
Didn't you have your mother draw you a post-dance bath?
No.
Just waiting for you when you got home?
I'm not a bath guy.
It's never happened.
Not. I'm not even a hot tub guy. Nah, man.
I love baths.
Really?
Little Uncle Nearest.
Yeah.
I got a friend
yesterday
that works at.
I sat down in a kitchen chair and it collapsed under me. You better believe I had to soak in a bath after that.
I got a homegirl that works at Lush and she just sends me like a box of bath bombs. If y'all want any.
Absolutely.
Also, just not here, because after she turns her brother into a dog, she goes and visits the witch again.
Madame Serena,
Tip of the hat to Zelda Rubinstein from Poltergeist. The second she came on screen, I was like, oh, child, this house is clean.
Who is she?
In Poltergeist?
No, I've never seen Poltergeist.
Ooh, first of all, if you're listening to this, stop and watch Poltergeist. But Poltergeist is a...
I know, but it's something about TV screen.
It's Tobey Hooper from Texas Chainsaw and Steven Spielberg direct this movie about a haunted house that is haunted by a poltergeist. And it's just this kind of Reaganomics.
It's based on the Stephen King novel, is it not? Isn't it?
Not Stephen King, but it's based on a short story of something.
That's a short story.
Yeah. But, you know, this kind of, you know, Reagan conservative family moves into this house in Northern California, and it's haunted because it's built on a burial ground. And it is just phenomenal practical effects, a lot of fun. It's kind of, for people with kids, kind of kids' first horror movie. There's nothing, like, truly horrible.
Really?
Yeah, no, it's PG, and it's still, like, today, I think it'd be PG-13. It's not, but it's a lot of,
so it's not like Insidious.
No, nothing like that. No, it's not like Saw or Hostel.
Ooh.
But she's the woman in town who's the medium, who they call in, and she's like, oh, I feel an evil presence, child.
She's 4 foot, right?
She's like 4 foot. 4'6" in real life. And
she's been in tons of stuff.
She always plays
that kind of character.
That's awesome.
She has charisma. Like, again, charisma is something that can't be taught. She enters the scene and you're just like, holy shit, is that who I think it is?
Because as I watch the movie, I can see this character or how the writing could have gone to the story where this witch could turn into, like, you know, take the W out of witch and put a B in it. I thought
she's like a granny. She's like a granny. Yeah.
I mean, there's some resentful grannies, you know, it's like, well, you're gonna do this for me. You know what I mean? So I liked how sweet she was, you know, because also I can see this as during the time, a movie for teens, tweens, whatever, and needing that motherly like comfort, you know. She almost acted like a motherly figure, parallel to her mother, because like her mom was trying to, I don't know what her mom was doing. The mother was interesting if you pulled up back layers of it, but like I loved
I love her energy.
Yeah, you know, I just, it was so comforting to me.
I kind of got that cookie aunt vibe.
Cookie
aunt, because she turns a frog into her, a guy, a love slave. She does a thing with money. So I got kind of that. Aunt Linda turned the, you know.
The cool aunt. She's the one who gets you wheat. Like,
exactly.
Because you want some liquor.
The impression that I get is that her power may be waning and she's using Louise's power to do these things.
Well, she mentioned she was 16 twice in the movie.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they go through the book and then she sees the amulet and she's like, yeah, that's you. This is your amulet. Like, here you are in your 1800s yearbook. Mm. And so that was kind of weird.
They don't really explain.
Yeah.
And also, like, I think it's also supposed to be the parallel between, she is this girl torn between being, again, kind of this, you know, Reagan conservative family, like, don't worry, you'll be fine on your own, versus this aunt saying it's okay to be weird, like you said. And she's torn between the two.
Yep.
And in the end, she kind of settles in the middle, right? Which is the point. Although the conclusion of this movie happens real quick, which we'll get to. It's just kind of like, and second dance scene. We don't know if she ever gives up those powers.
Yeah. I felt like the movie ended. I understand.
An episode of Clarissa Explains It All would have wrapped up a little tighter, I think.
Yep.
A little bit more right wing too, but we'll get there.
But first she does the voodoo doll with her.
Yeah, so now she has confirmed that she does in fact have magic powers, and she got a spell book. So she does like Omni Sumidaro, wah wah. You know, she learns some spells.
Controls the breeze and the rain, makes a little
you know, carousel magic happen.
And then we get my favorite scene in the movie, which is, we're back in the locker room. And apparently the lavender leotard is the gym uniform, which is a lot, because I teach at a Catholic school, which already, if a girl needed replacement uniform parts, they could go to the Hustler store and get them, because Catholic girl uniforms are essentially fetish objects. But these girls, the idea that A, that they're in high school is laughable.
Yeah.
But B, that they're like, you know what, I need to play like volleyball with a gym teacher who hasn't done any sports in 20 years. Is this leotard? There's no t-shirts. There's no gym shorts. They're just like, oh my God, we're going to dance together. Even our heroine's wearing one. But again, to hide the fact that she's got any sexuality, she's wearing a shirt over it.
Have you not watched Glee? It's not about that.
It's still not real.
By the way, we haven't mentioned that this is Blake Lively's older sister.
Right.
The main character.
What?
Is Blake Lively's older sister.
You know, I did not know that.
George's own, the Livelys. Although Blake, I think, was born in LA after they had moved
Robin
there.
Robin Lively. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, she's from a nearby exoburb called Powder Springs. And she's great in this because Georgia produces prime actors. If you're looking, just look at Tyler Perry. He's one of our finest.
What?
Tyler Perry?
No, you can't say that, man. You can't say that about Tyler Perry.
He's one of our best actors.
Really? You believe that?
I like him just fine. He was in Star Trek.
We'll talk later. Yes, yes, he was. We'll talk later about Tyler Perry.
He's,
it's movies I love to hate, but that's
you want to do one for the show?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Atlanta,
next
Atlanta,
holiday.
To your point, Atlanta is kind of being known for the Southern Hollywood.
We're doing it now. More,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, oh, but we're talking about like the origin of actors, like Pretty Woman. Julia Roberts is from Georgia.
She is. Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, back then you would be found and then leave as quickly as possible. I just mentioned the fact that every so often we check in the high school and these girls who are bullying her, like she's wearing all the clothing because, and they're like, you're so awful. And her first spell is essentially like, women stop lying to each other. Like it's a truth spell. And that was funny. Like the way it was scripted, the way it was blocked, because you think the first person she was going to use it on was her brother. And really what it is to get against the mean girls. And it turns out perfect. That's a very funny scene.
Imagine the burn book from Mean Girls. That scene. It was almost like that. And again, one of the mean girls gets pushed into the water. And then suddenly
she wakes back
spell
up.
Wakes her back up. So water is key here. Oh, yeah, because when she was printing money, when they wanted the Tested Potter, the water spilled on the money.
Uh-huh.
Money's gone. Oh.
Well, and she said that because she's young, her spells can still be broken easily by water. So it's an experience thing.
But y'all
like see, a gremlin when she gets wet.
No. Wizard of Oz. I'm melting.
Oh, yes, God.
Yes. Water.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course,
Dorothy
it rains.
Dorothy was a young witch. Yeah. See, there you go. Dorothy was
also
a young
I'm pretty sure she does probably take baths.
But the voodoo doll with the teacher was
hence
maybe my
was
favorite scene.
Oh, my gosh. My
was maybe my favorite scene of this movie.
Loved it. I got worried, though, when he started taking his clothes off in the class. I was like,
how far are you going to take this?
And then he kind of pulls at his underwear, and I was like, oh, no!
Mr. Feeney, no.
And he got caught. Yeah, Mr. Feeney.
But again, I say to you, Nick, as a teacher.
You're gone yesterday. I do also like how, like, I'm the principal of the school. Ha, rumpf. And then we just cut to him on a street corner. Like, it's a lot. That's when he walks through a car wash.
So what happens is the brother starts messing with the doll and then just like, you know, discards it and scurries away.
That's great.
And the mom finds it. She's like, oh, no, we can't let him, you know, ruin her. She works so hard for this. So she throws it in the washer. So the guy just takes
her.
Yeah, he just walks through a car wash. And it's such a funny scene.
Well, wait, but you have to explain the scene we're talking about. So... he's reading someone else's erotic poetry, and then she slowly undid his pants. And while he's describing it, he's slowly undressing before the kids and rubbing his nipples. And he's like taking off the bow tie and unbuttoning his shirt and rubbing down himself. Yeah. And then he drops trow. And then the principal, and like he's just half naked in front of these kids.
It's hot.
These strokes are real, though. I mean, just like don't discard it. But that's why he was believable, and that's why he got escorted out of. And then, unfortunately,
I don't think I'd be laughing if my teacher did that. I'd be like, "Yo, Mr. Johnson needs some like
clothes."
Yeah.
And then he fell down the stairs because of the voodoo.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Fell
yeah,
down the stairs
because the brother doll. Kicked the doll down the stairs.
So
he fell down the stairs.
It was hilarious to me that he wanted to pay for the car wash. He was like, here you go. He was like, no.
He tips the guy.
It's free, man.
For the whole point, though, is Louise gets some revenge.
She's having a lot of fun.
She's having fun. She gets some revenge for him humiliating her before. Him being humiliated.
Yeah. So then she's stretching her wings a little bit. And she's cast, you know, a handful of spells. And then we happen upon, did you say the guy's name rapping on the street?
Oh, dude, these three putzes. Christ crackers.
But hold up, we don't even talk about her BFF.
We haven't talked about her.
Yeah. Which is very crucial to this next B-boy scene.
What do we have to say about her?
She can spit bars. She can rap. I liked her flow. It was very great. And
only because Louise is magic.
Exactly, because she did top that. She did top that.
I'll give her credit. Her name is Mandy Ingber. She is, what, Polly in this, right?
That's her name.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about her. Right. Okay.
No, no. She's in future episode, guaranteed Mr. Mom. She's one of the daughters. She's Debbie.
Okay.
But she in this is like, so we have your standard girl becomes popular, loses friends.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's her arc here. But she's in love with I don't know how to describe him other than someone who would have been friends with John Travolta in Grease. Like, he's got his sleeves rolled up.
A beatboxer.
Yeah, but he also looks like he's got his hair slicked back. He's got sleeves on.
Hey.
The Fonz's brother-in-law. Hey,
got the cigarette on the sleeve, you know what I'm saying?
Says, show it.
If you're not a shark, you're a shark. Officer Krumke, you must... Sorry, we can't. Say that. Sorry, nice. Again, theater kid.
I was on pitch.
Oh, thank you. I was a talented person
finally on this.
She missed that she's in love with Mr. Fonzie Beatbox. And and so Louise helps her out. She's like, you know, she gives her some.
Because she said something then, like, I wish I was cool.
Or... I wish I was cool. I wish I wasn't as shy or something.
Yeah.
So she goes up there and just nails
top the confidence.
Top that. You gotta admit, is a bop.
I was watching it on my phone. I was like, just bouncing.
Yeah, it's really good. And on that,
give up like that.
And I don't give up. I'm not trying to top that. Stop that.
Just imagine.
I don't give up like that.
If Beat It was like rated G,
I love it. And on that note.
Suburbs.
All of the songs in this movie are really good.
Yeah.
Whoever they got, man, was pretty fun.
This movie actually was made into a musical in the 2000s.
No, I believe it.
But surprisingly, I don't think it did very well. Wait. And it didn't like pick up like they really wanted it to.
No,
I say to you, they can make anything a musical. Mm-hmm. They're making the Gwyneth Paltrow trial a musical.
They are.
Excuse me?
It's called Goop.
A Goop?
I like that, yeah.
No, the one where she paralyzed again.
The skiing trial.
The who trial?
Gwyneth Paltrow trial. Anyway.
It's white people nonsense.
What happened?
It is. Well,
she was skiing.
My whole point is that they can make a musical out of anything, so I'm not surprised that they made one out of this.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's
awesome. Okay. But no, I really enjoyed the whole... It was a good midpoint for me because I was like, what's going to happen next? Like,
she's got her powers. Yeah. She knows how to use it. She uses her powers to get her favorite singer's jacket.
Who is that?
And around here sometime we get the drama teacher looking like Carmen Sandiego and riding off with this Italian guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think and I guess Louise had like wished her to get what she wants.
Happiness or something.
She got lottery winnings. She didn't even play the lottery. And it just
hopefully she just never takes a bath because...
Yeah, right.
No. Yeah, she's going to get to like the Riviera. Argentina
or something. They'll go in the ocean and it'll be run. But anyway, so she decides to... She's doing all this for power. She's learning... She's mastering it. So she decides to do her biggest spell to be the most popular girl in the school.
Yeah.
I get as a teenager, I mean, I'm sure as a teenager.
I can't remember what it is,
like,
popular.
That's all you want at the time. But at the same, I was like, oh man, I was a little disappointed by that. Like, really? You're just going to ask for popularity?
I get it.
I don't know. I feel like popularity is like, I mean, because... Like, we know that ultimately she wanted to put a love spell on Brad. Like, that's what she really wanted. But so she chose popularity so that everybody would like her, you know. And then she starts to kind of question if people really like her for her. Which, no, they don't. You cast a spell on them. So. Yeah.
Sad. But I think that's why she had to get the jacket, was for that spell. Something to do with that spell.
Oh, did she need the jacket?
Yeah, or something.
Well, because the idea was that she needed something else that was just as popular to get the power,
The power, yeah.
Mm. That makes sense.
That's why she had to get it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It had the popularity.
I was still on high from the B-boy scene, so I didn't catch
like the jewels bedazzling it were the popularity.
Yeah. That's how I'd use my powers, just to get in exclusive places and stuff like that. Yeah.
No, we're on the list.
But so she does the popular spell and notices right away. Brad takes her to an abandoned house.
Okay, where every girl wants to be taken.
Yeah.
To a romantic abandoned house. Is it a house? I don't know.
Well, first of all,
barn.
See previous episode Cool as Ice, because they totally make out in an abandoned house that's under construction.
They like, do in no,
he leads her in a trail by taking off at each item of clothes. Yeah. She finds a trail above the
She's like, this is a fun game. What if one of them was like a knife?
Right. Like, I'm like, run, girl. But anyway,
this is 2023. Back then, yeah. I think they were much more innocent in that
very
regard.
Cabin in the woods.
She finds this trail.
Why were there so many pairs of socks?
And they just start making out.
It. It's just all socks.
And it's nothing but tongue-usy. And
I also, again, so I watched this with my kids. And I was like, all right, it's PG. It's going to be a little mild.
No.
Like, no. This was.
Do you see? I saw butt. Do you see butt?
I ended up after about 2 minutes, I started to fast forward. And my 6-year-old asked me why I was fast forwarding. And I was like, oh, you know, it's just too much. Credits. You know, it's just too long. Like, yeah. It's just, you know.
It's intermission.
Like, but,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is also after a scene where, like,
we didn't see a butt.
She may or may not have hooked up with the entire football team, because right before they have this musical number eventually with the
B-boys. Oh yeah, and they say like, we want a girl like Louise. Or
and she opens the door and the entire football team's there and she's like, ah,
yeah,
and she poses for them and you're just like, what on earth?
And then you see him by the window with the sun coming down like a Greek
hey,
guy.
Hey, pretty lady, what you like, come what my way?
We've been there for hours.
Didn't you have a girlfriend? That's when I was confused. I was like, yo, doesn't this kid still have a girlfriend?
Brad?
She had him disappear.
Yeah, Brad has a girlfriend, right?
And
he's taken her to some abandoned house. But I was like, yo, doesn't he have a girlfriend?
Yeah, I don't know. I think something happened with them. I think
guys are stupid.
He was under a spell.
He was under a spell.
But actually, she didn't actually, she had the opportunity to put the love spell on him.
And she didn't.
And she didn't. Because, yeah. And then, because there was a scene where they go into the bedroom. She puts like scarves on all the lamps. She puts her chairs in the closet. And
wow,
I thought that was really funny. Because I was like, this is like a high school thing. Like, this is like what my mind would have been like in high school. Like, oh, I don't have any chairs. Like, sorry.
We have to sit on the bed.
Oh, well, you know.
If I was the dad, I would have said no.
I was like, where are your chairs?
I would have said no. You can't have a boy. 16? Absolutely not.
A 2T?
No. 2T? No. We're going to go to the library and I'm going to monitor you. Yep. I'm scared to be a girl dad. You know what I'm saying? Just like, the only thing that I could really lean on is my religion, because I'm Islam. So as soon as my baby girl comes out, it's just hijab.
Well, okay.
That's why I was okay with the modest whatever clothing. Sorry, just projecting my fears.
You are.
Yeah.
You are. I will say, too.
That was a safe space. It's Teen Witch.
And then she becomes a cheerleader with an H on her. Yeah.
Sorry.
But Louise is finding that this popularity isn't what all is cracked up to be, right? She starts wondering, oh, do these people really like me for me? Or is it just a spell?
And also her best friend is not talking to her.
Oh, yeah,
so she tries to talk to her, but she won't talk to her
anymore. Which is right around the time she breaks the leg of the female lead of the play.
I knew that.
Ooh. Yeah.
But break a leg.
Yeah. Literally.
Literally.
And then she's like, geez, Louise, what did you break yourself?
That's right.
But then she learns that the real magic is believing in yourself.
Yeah, well, actually, so approach the end, just, you know, there's a final dance scene. She gets the blue dress that's, I don't know if it's the same dress from her dream, but it's pretty close to the dress that she's wearing. You know, the big shoulder pads and whatever. It's gonna be my finest hour.
I love that.
I could go on, but I won't. But she takes the amulet off and slides it across the dance floor to her elder. She gives up her power.
That's right. She sets up the sequel. Bye.
That's what I thought. That's the first thing I thought.
Sabrina the Teen Witch 2. Sorry.
Okay. That's right. Well, I mean, but that's what it feels like. Like, I'm going to pass this on to another. Which I thought was going to be her nerdy friend, but we never see her.
I That's what I thought.
Yeah, that could have been cute. That could have been cute.
And then, but she goes full Carrie and just starts raining blood on people and like crushing
them. I low-key thought that was going to happen. That would have been a great twist. I thought the whole Carrie situation. Because I was like running late, so I was like, what happens at the dance? Okay, I'll just, you know, but it didn't happen.
No. Yeah.
No, it's just wholesome. Mm-hmm. Just sweet and wholesome.
Yeah, but you don't really know if Brad comes up to her, but they don't. You don't really know if he.
Yeah,
right?
I guess. Well, they've open. Already
they
like
a little open, right?
Made out in an abandoned house. So
I found that's an horrible. Even more abandoned house.
You want to go behind Publix? No, it's not.
This is an abandoned mall. Not in the 80s. Around here too, like we have what's her name? Serena has been not profiting, but like her house is better too.
Yeah.
Right.
She doesn't want her to give up powers because, like you said, she's kind of getting more strength from the fact that there's a teen witch, the titular mm-hmm. teen witch.
Mm. I did like seeing her modern decor.
Yeah.
Like what was modern in 89.
Mm. I bet she got a toilet with the plush on it. You know what I mean? Little, you know, a toilet with the plush? You ever set up toilet with the squishies?
I never toilet? Had a toilet with anything.
Oh, you never said you mean never like, said it? Like the kind that's like plastic but squishy, and when you sit on it, it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just imagine that her house because it's all pink and it's nice.
I mean, I've seen toilets with the fur covers on top.
Nah, man.
No, you, he's talking
you,
about
it's you a, sit it's on a, you sit on some it, fabric.
Yeah, the toilet fabric, seat but. Is it's like a vinyl. It's like
yeah,
a
like a donut
coated in
like
vinyl.
Like the
like when you break your tailbone.
The hemorrhoid donuts. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be good for her if she can keep that in her house. But no, I really yeah.
It's very Reaganomics, that house.
Exactly.
But yeah, so we get to the end scene, and the question is going to be, like you said, what she's going to do. In fact, we have Brad back with the blonde girl, I think.
Yeah, because maybe they walk in together.
They haven't ever really broken up, and he
was just... Yes, right. But he's looking all over for Louise, though. He's like... He's clearly, like, rolling his eyes. He doesn't want to be with her. It's just...
Well, and also, like, Madame Serena is, like, a chaperone, which is strange. Yeah. Because, like, we have weird... By the way, if you're a teacher who gets naked in a class, you don't get to be the chaperone at the prom or whatever's happening here.
Absolutely not.
But he's there with, like, the old... Like, with the only other teacher we've seen breaking up dances.
Oh, yeah. He split up some kids.
Leaving room for the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Because they were doing some really intense, like,
save room for Jesus,
lunging at each other.
They were like rubbing nipples. It was very strange. It was a lot.
I mean, I penguin dance in my middle school dances. It's really awkward. What? Penguin dance. It's where, you got an arm's length apart. And you
that's
just...
basically like the only kind of dancing like I could do anyway.
I did. I took a ballroom dance in high school. It saved my... ego, actually, I can say this. No penguin dancing. Yeah, I can salsa. But yeah. But I want to talk about Brad real quick. Because we hinted on him just being like just this popular whatever guy. But in a sense, I feel like he has an identity crisis for this whole movie. If you think about it, because he had the conversation.
He's 35 playing a high schooler.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. But he has a conversation. With not his girl, that he has to be with the popular girl because he's a popular guy or whatever, and he's honestly worried about going to. So he's putting on this fake pressure, and which she sees. You know what I mean? That's why, like, she doesn't believe him when she says, like, "No, I really like you for you." You know what I mean? So going to this dance, I can see all the adrenaline of her when she did slide her necklace, and Brad is looking around. Like, I'm like, I know this is a teen movie, but like, is this gonna have a happy ending? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you start to question yourself. Yeah. But yeah, but no, Brad's pretty cool. I don't think he was on the spell, so everything was genuine.
Ultimately, exactly the point I think you're making is that it's a coming of age story.
Yes.
This is all what it boils down to.
That two, three words. I said a paragraph. Those three words.
Coming of age story for Louise, for Brad.
Yeah.
I think for her best friend, wanna be Blossom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's trying, even maybe a little bit for Madame Serena.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right?
Like coming into her different part of her life. So I think, yeah. So I dig that part of it, is it's trying to indicate that coming of age and that little bit of struggle. She's trying to go from girl to woman. It's just with magic.
Yeah.
Puberty is magic.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think at the end we get real complicated. Because I feel like I think she still has magic. The amulet just doesn't matter anymore. Because we cut to a scene where everyone's dancing the same dance as though it's all choreographed, even when she doesn't have the medallion.
Yes.
Even that guy who looks like a coked out Robert Downey Jr. is doing the same dance.
I think it was him.
No, possible. It's 89. Yeah. He wasn't working much. But like, they're all doing the same dance together as though it's still a spell. So I think my thought was, now she doesn't need it anymore. The many interpretations.
Her powers are growing.
Are there any, you know, like scholarly articles or anything that's
Pauline Kael?
Some fan made.
Maybe her powers became so strong that she didn't. She no longer needed that.
Well, she didn't have it. So how did she lose her amulet in her past life?
Yeah.
Maybe that is the arc that she has in every one of her lives, that she gets rid of the amulet.
Maybe.
I think we just discovered that this needs a prequel and a sequel. I think we can make this a prequel and a sequel.
Yeah.
That got me really thinking.
I'm for it. It's a good movie.
No, I agree. It would be great. But I'm like, how would you do it? You know, like you go back to Salem Witch Trials type era, or
Jebediah's gonna like me or else.
Eventually, Archie in the log cabin schoolhouse. You know,
Mr. Sandman. Anyways,
Annabelle smells like a cow, right?
Her powers grow strong enough that even when she gets wet, it doesn't matter anymore. She doesn't lose the spell.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that scene. All right. I think we're at the end of this movie. Anything else you want to touch on? No? We're good? Final thoughts? Yeah.
All right. Wait, did we address all of your notes?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't take any notes on this one, so.
It's all in the cabase. Mandula. In the brain. I want to end with your nuts, so I'll be short. I like this movie. It was a coming of age movie that I enjoyed, mainly because, you know, made me feel like a kid again almost a little bit. And like the wonders of high school and trying to be popular or whatever, you know what I mean? But also learning that when you get to the top of the mountain, you know what I mean? That's not what it all seems out to be. But I liked how things ended with the movie.
Yeah, it was fine. I thought it was totally fine. It was a movie I hadn't seen before, and I enjoyed it. They don't make a lot of movies like this anymore that have any teeth, right? Like, this would be Disney Channel movie nonsense, and that would just be very flat and very predictable. And the fact that there is some, like, not like teen sexuality, but like the fact that they have things where they are, like, doing stuff, that just wouldn't happen anymore. So I appreciate the fact that this is an 80s movie and it's kind of quirky and fun. So I'll give it that. Giga?
Yeah. So I was curious how you guys would react because I had nostalgia on my side. And, you know, that's what like my husband was saying, like, oh, they're not going to like it because they don't have the nostalgia for it like you do. And I was like, I don't think so. Like, I think it's a ridiculous enough movie that you can enjoy it even without the nostalgia. So I'm glad to hear that you guys liked it, but I love it. If you like 80s high school movies, I think you should definitely watch it. It's super cute and fun and has good music.
Yeah.
No, like I mentioned earlier, this was the first time I ever saw this and I enjoyed it way more than I thought I would. So great pick. I do think it has more teeth. There's something there. I love the 80s wonderful cheesiness. That's just kind of my wheelhouse, John Hughes and all that kind of style. I do think there were some scenes where it's like, what is going on? but yeah, overall, it's definitely enjoyable. It's worth viewing, totally.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for viewing. We are just, you know, about halfway through our romance February month romance. I was gonna come up with a pun, we don't have one. It's February. We're doing love loving movies.
Romance.
We'll tune in next week for some more romance, I guess. Bromance, as we talk about Pretty Woman. Academy Award nominated Pretty Woman, Frank Marshall movie, Pretty Woman. Thanks, everyone. Myopia Movies is a podcast production of Dude Letter Podcasting and is produced by Nick Hoffman. It is edited by Nur Trinette and Daniel Suttis and is hosted by Nick Hoffman with production assistance by Matthew Quinn, Daniel Suttis, and Nur Trinette. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from incomptech.com. Licensed under the Creative Commons by Attribution 4 license, creativecommons.com/licenses/4.0. Thanks.